ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भागवते
वासुदेवाय
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 2 दक्ष कर्सेस लॉर्ड शिवा. This is going to be text number 10. Words ayam tu lokapalanam yasha gnaha nirapatrapa sodbi acharita Kanta yena stabdena dushita ayam tu loka palanam
ayam tu loka palanam
ayam tu loka palanam
ayam tu loka palanam
yashogno nirapatrapa Yashogno nirapatrapaha
Yashogno nirapatrapaha
Sadbir acharita panta
Sadbir acharita panta
Sadbir acharita panta
Sadbir acharita panta
Yena sabdena dushita
Yenastabdena
dushita
Yenastabdena dushita
Ayam hi
Shiva
Tu bat lokapalanam Of the governors of the universe Yashagna Spoiling the fame Nirapatrapa shameless sadbi by those of gentle manner acharita followed panta the path yena by whom shiva stambena Being the void of proper actions, dushita is polluted. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Shiva has spoiled the name and fame of the governors of the universe and has polluted the path of gentle manners. Because he is shameless, he does not know how to act. Purport. Daksha wanted to impress upon the minds of all the great sages assembled in that meeting that Shiva, being one of the demigods, had ruined the good reputation of all the demigods by his unmannerly behavior. The words used against Lord Shiva by Daksha can also be understood in a different way, in a good sense. For example, he stated that Shiva is Yashogna, which means one who spoils name and fame. So this can also be interpreted to mean that he was so famous that his fame killed all other fame. Again, Daksha used the word nirapatrapa, which also can be used in two senses. One sense is one who is stunted. And another sense is one who is the maintainer of persons who have no other shelter. Generally, Lord Shiva is known as the Lord of the Bhutas, or lower grade of living creatures. They take shelter of Lord Shiva because he is very kind to everyone and is very quickly satisfied. Therefore, he is called Ashutosh. To such men who cannot approach other demigods or Vishnu, Lord Shiva gives shelter. Therefore, the word nirapatrapa can be used in that sense. I am to loko palanam yashogno nirapatrapaha sadbir acharita panta yena stabdena dushita. Shiva has spoiled the name and fame of the governors of the universe and has polluted the path of gentle manners. Because he is shameless, he does not know how to act. So Daksha is starting to speak about Lord Shiva, starting to criticize him. But as mentioned here in the purport, first he is, programming the mind of the listeners so that they will they would accept his words in a certain way or within a certain frame. That's why he is trying to tell them that he is not speaking out of ignorance or envy, and that this is just common sense or proper understanding of the situation what he is going to tell them. Now, today Bhuvaneshwar Prabhu left, and before he went he said that I should mention one point. And that is that, it seems like Daksha is doing wrong things, right? He is now criticizing Lord Shiva. But on the other hand, if he wouldn't do that, then there will be no story. So sometimes, in Krishna's pastimes, you need different characters, like, in any drama. You need good guys and bad guys, so someone has to take the role also of a bad guy, or someone who churns up the whole situation so that something can happen, something of benefit for all living entities, so that we can learn something from that, and also that exalted qualities of devotees can be manifested, seen, so that we can recognize them and then worship them. In any case, envy is displayed. Daksha is showing his envy, and envy is practically the worst of all anarthas. All anarthas culminate in envy. So when envy is gone, then all the others are also gone, like lust, anger, greed, and illusion, and what is the other one?
Madness.
Yeah, pride or madness, yes, and illusion. Yeah, thank you. So, envy is very bad, and it's supposed to be given up. It should be cut completely. But if we cannot cut it completely, then at least it should be kept under control. In other words, we should not act upon envy or any other anartha. Even if they appear in the heart, they should not be impetus for our activities. They should be controlled. If we take an example of another anartha, like anger, it is not that any time anger might appear in the mind that we should externally become wild also. Like some people sometimes get disturbed when children are too active. So in mind of such a person, anger may arise, but such a person should control the anger. He should not get wild on the child or slap a child or whatever other crazy thing one might do based on anger. So it should be controlled, and that goes for all anarthas. If they appear, we should detect them and not act upon them. Otherwise, life will be hellish for ourselves, and we will get ourselves in troubles, and also we will create disturbance in society, in community, whether these are devotees or even other people. So, it is possible, for one who is not pure, it is not surprising that anarthas do arise, that they come, that we notice them. But the question is, how to deal with them. And for sure, acting according to these pushings is for sure not the right way. Srila Prabhupada also mentioned, that was a point from yesterday's purport that I didn't speak upon, that Daksha was always envious, so he could not detect his envy. So, if we are used to something in our environment, we get so used to it that then we don't even notice that it is there. You know, sometimes people live next to a very busy road. So, you know, that noise doesn't bother them, but if you visit them, you know, you can immediately detect, oh, there is noise all the time. But those people are completely immune to it. It is natural for them. They're always living in noise. Sometimes you meet people. You wanted to say something?
In fact, if they don't hear the noise, they get disturbed.
They get disturbed, yeah. Yes. Something is not normal. Yes, some people cannot take silence. Because they have. Then you have to deal with yourself and your mind. That's why when they wake up, immediately they turn on the TV or radio or something, there should be some noise somewhere. Otherwise they hear the noise, the buzzing of the mind. Yeah. Unfortunately. But if we cannot become peaceful, then it's very hard to focus on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah, or another thing that people don't notice. there are so many examples, but one that comes to my mind is also some people like to eat very much garlic and onions, you know. So those eatables, when you take them, then you have special smell. So people who are eating that all the time, they don't notice that smell. But if you come in contact and you are not used to it, you immediately can detect it. Yeah. So, because Daksha was always in this environment of envy, or he was always envious towards Lord Shiva, he couldn't even detect now that in this assembly this envy is again coming up. So it was just normal for him. He just continued the way he was used to act. So, that is also a lesson for us that if we live in a clean environment, if our heart is clean and, you know, the environment around us is clean, then very easily we will detect any anartha that might come up, because it will stick out. You know, if everything is pure and clean, then something that is dirty, you will notice it immediately. There is one analogy in Chaitanya Charitamrita that speaks about this point, and it's about character of a sannyasi. It says, Shukla vaster masi bindu yaichena lokaya. Sannyasira alpachidra sarva loke gaya. Just like a black spot of ink cannot be hidden on a white cloth. You know, you have white dhoti and then one black spot cannot be hidden. You know, it is always very prominent. You can notice it immediately. So also, if there is some bad activity or bad character, some fault in the character of sannyasi, it is always immediately detected and all people speak about it. You know, if someone else has some anartha, no one will say anything. But if very pure person or exalted personality has some bad quality, then everyone will notice and everyone will speak about it. In any case, we try to keep our hearts clean and live in a pure environment so that we can detect these anarthas in order to remove them, because there are obstacles on our path. We don't want them. If we can completely reject them or neglect them, it's the best. But still, if they appear, they should be kept under control. That is the point. And Daksha was not able to keep it under control. Even when we mentioned yesterday that first shloka from Upadeshamrita, that, you know, the actions of anger should also be controlled. So that means, you know, you should not. But Daksha could not control his envy. He felt so much enviousness towards Shiva that he couldn't keep his mouth shut. He just had to say. Unfortunately. So, if we can detect anarthas in our heart, that is actually a great blessing by Lord Krishna. Because if I see that something is wrong, then I can correct it. Or I can work on it. Right? So sometimes we as devotees might get disturbed. Oh my God, disappeared in my heart. You know, oh, what is that? Practicing for so many years and it is still coming up. This anartha, that anartha. But that is not bad. That is actually Krishna's blessing. He is, you know, he brings it to our attention so that we can deal with it properly. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, there's no way we can become pure. But the point is how to deal. It is not, you know, sometimes even outside people or people who are not engaged in spiritual life, they try to become good persons and develop some good qualities and so on and remove some bad ones. But actually there is no material means to remove these anarthas. You might deal with them, but you will not remove them completely. The only thing is that heart has to be cleansed. And that can happen only by practicing Krishna consciousness. That is the only way. We can put focus on certain anartha if we can detect it in our heart and if it's bothering us all the time. But it will be removed, or it cannot be removed without practicing Krishna consciousness. Yeah. So actually everything that is without value is removed by Krishna consciousness. That is stated in first canto of Bhagavatam. Anarto pashamam sakshat bhakti yoga madhokchache lokasya janato vidvam chakre satvata sankhitam. It is mentioned that all things that are superfluous to living entities, all kinds of sufferings can be directly removed by the process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Srimad Bhagavatam in order for people to be able to remove everything that is superfluous, everything that is anartha, without value for the living entity. So everything useless goes away by practicing Krishna consciousness. So that's why it is important that we practice as seriously as possible. Yeah. Otherwise, anarthas get us in trouble. Here, and this was mentioned also in the previous classes, it will all lead up to Daksha's losing his head. And there is another, I mean, there are many envious persons who lost their heads. But one of them described in 10th canto of Bhagavatam is Shishupal. He was a relative of Krishna, but he was always so envious of Krishna, always criticizing Krishna. But he had benediction, or Krishna promised Shishupal's mother that he will not kill him unless he commits 100 offenses in a row. So, no, you have to be determined to criticize someone for so long. So it seems that, you know, he won't be killed. But still later, when Yudhishthira Maharaj performed Rajasuya sacrifice, then the incident happened. So Yudhishthira was performing Rajasuya Sacrifice which is sacrifice performed by the emperor of the whole world. So only when all the kings accept you as the chief, then you can perform that sacrifice. So, but the point was that Yudhishthir didn't want to perform that sacrifice, you know, to prove that he is the emperor of the world, that he is topmost king. He wanted to perform that sacrifice because he knew that all exalted personalities from all over the universe will come. And then when all will be assembled, then he will prove that Krishna is the Supreme Person. In front of all, he would want Krishna to be glorified by everyone. So when this sacrifice was started, then they had to elect the chief of the assembly or the most exalted personality and offer worship to that person. It's called Agra Puja. So different persons had different opinions, but then Sahadeva said that Krishna should be the person who will be worshipped. So then all assembled people, they all agreed and they worshipped Krishna, and then the sacrifice was about to start. But then Shishupal got wild and started speaking against Krishna, criticizing him, you know, that who is he? You know, we cannot even know about his Varna. In the childhood he was herding the cows, now he's acting like some kind of Kshatriya, you know, killing his uncle and all those things. You know, and you want to accept this person as the most exalted person in the assembly. So Shishupala was criticizing him. Acharyas also explained that Shishupala had a very bad plan. You know, in order to... he didn't object at the beginning when they were choosing the most exalted personality. Because if at that time he would object and all the assembled people would choose someone else, not Krishna, still Yudhishthir's sacrifice could go on. But once the sacrifice was started and person was already chosen as the head of the sacrifice, then if you want to change that person, then the whole sacrifice has to be redone. You know, it is nullified, so everything would be spoiled. So that's why he didn't object at the beginning, only later. So this is the mentality of demoniac people. They want to create as much disturbance as they can and spoil others' plans. So Shishupala also did like that. So he was criticizing Krishna, telling different bad things about Krishna. And because there were so many devotees of Lord Krishna there, and there were Kshatriyas, you know, they were already prepared to attack Shishupala. But again, that would again spoil the sacrifice. Because when you have sacrifice, then you know you have to follow certain rules. And purity is one of them. So you cannot have bloodshed there and then continue with sacrifice. Because with blood everything is polluted. So again, you know, everything would be spoiled. So that's why Krishna didn't want others to attack Shishupal. But he took his Sudarshan Chakra. And with Sudarshan Chakra he chopped his head off. And, you know, he could do it in such a way that not even one drop of blood fell on the ground, so that sacrifice could continue. But we can see, due to envy, due to being unable to control this pushing of enviousness, Shishupal got himself in trouble to such an extent that he lost his head. Yesterday we mentioned that one of the offenses to the devotees is also to envy a devotee. So, you know, we might lose head by being cut off, but you know, if we lose our spiritual life, that's also, you know, that's also death. So that's why so much stress is given, or so much so many examples and advices are there regarding anarthas, so that we don't spoil our spiritual life. Now here we hear that Daksha is saying that Shiva doesn't know how to act. That is one of criticisms here expressed by Daksha. Now how we judge what is proper action and what is not proper action? Usually on a material platform we judge it by what is pleasing to us and what is not pleasing to us. If someone does something that is pleasing, we said, oh, very good act. You've done it very nicely. And when someone does something that is disturbing to us, then we say, oh, this person doesn't know how to act. And that was exactly the point here. Shiva reacted in a way that Daksha didn't like, so he said, you know, he doesn't know how to act. He doesn't know what to do. Yeah. So it sometimes happens also when someone cooks. Someone cooks something that in a way that we don't like, then we say, oh, he's not good cook. You know, you come, I don't know, from Europe, you're not used to chili, you come to India, there's chili everywhere. You say, oh, these people, they don't know how to cook. But no, they know how to cook, just you're not used to that taste, you know, it's, or maybe it bothers your body or whatever, but you know, just because it doesn't suit me, I should not judge it as being bad. That is, you know, material conception. Just judge it according to your own criteria or outlook on the world. So when someone does something that I don't like, then I will criticize. And when someone praises me, then, you know, this person is really in knowledge. Right? Someone comes and says, Prabhuji, you sang really nicely. Oh, this one, he has very good taste for music. He can really recognize good singing. You know, this is how mind works on the material platform, you know, whatever is displeasing, you reject, whatever is displeasing, you know, you just go. Very good. Finally someone. Finally someone, Hare Krishna, who can tell something nice about me. So when we can ask, you know, who can set the standard of what is proper, what is not proper, because in society we follow so many different authorities. You know, what is proper or improper we learn from family, we might learn at school, and from our peers, you know, this should be done and that should not be done. You have to have hair like this and not like this. We get all these different criterias of action. And modern thing, you know, people get standards of behavior from TV and internet. Then even things you never thought about, you know, you start living according to that. But the problem with that, all these sources of advices for our life is that they are mundane and they are actually changing all the time. You know, at certain point something seems to be proper in society and after a few decades something else seems to be proper. So then one should ask himself, you know, what should I actually follow? Because people who are thoughtful, they don't want to follow things that don't make sense. And that was one of the reasons for the whole hippie movement coming up. People just rejected the values of parents because it didn't make sense to them. You know, they were asking, you know, why I should follow like that. And they got no answer. But for one on a spiritual part, the criteria or the source of proper improper action is Shastra. Tasmat Shastram Pramanante Karya Karya Vyavastitao, Krishna says in Gita. To decide or to know what is proper and improper is actually given by Shastra. And these are eternal principles. It is not, you know, that this is proper today and in 10 years it will not be proper anymore. This is eternal knowledge, and eternally it gives the proper result or the favorable result. So accusing Shiva that he acts improperly is quite a bad proposal, because Shiva is the best of Vaishnavas, he is one of the Mahajans. So if someone knows Shastra and follows it, you know, then that's Lord Shiva. But Daksha, because he was not as advanced, he couldn't recognize that. That's why he is criticizing. From mundane point of view, he didn't like what Shiva did, and that's why he is coming to a wrong conclusion. Not knowing how to act is actually demoniac quality. Krishna says, pravritim cha nivritim cha janana jana asuraha na shaucham na pichacharo na satyam teshu vidyate. Yes, demons do not know how to act and how not to act, and in them you cannot find shaucham means cleanliness, achara means proper behavior or proper acting, and satyam, truth, cannot be found in demoniac person. So, you know, accusing Shiva that he doesn't know how to act would mean accusing him that, you know, he's acting in a demoniac way, which is, of course, completely a wrong conclusion. And Daksha's idea is that because Shiva is acting in a wrong way, now he is spoiling the reputation of all the leaders of the universe. So Srila Prabhupada was also criticized for spoiling Hindu religion, right? People would say, you know, how you are making non-Hindus into Brahmanas or Sannyasis. So they will criticize him in many different ways. Again, speaking that he doesn't know what proper standard of religion is. But it is similar example as this one with Daksha and Shiva. People who don't have knowledge try to judge someone who is so much superior in his understanding and consciousness that they cannot understand. So if someone doesn't have knowledge, it is better that such a person just keeps quiet and not criticize those who are so exalted. Because Lord Shiva or Srila Prabhupada, these are empowered personalities. They are saving others, helping them on a spiritual path. Okay, sometimes it takes time, like in the case of Srila Prabhupada, even today. In India, although previously he was criticized, now he is praised as one who is saving the, you know, Hindu religion. The only one who is sticking for the real values and reinforcing that. And all the rest, you know, is more or less watered down. So now people are recognizing it and appreciating Srila Prabhupada for what he has done and what he is actually still doing. Regarding this good reputation, which Daksha is saying is now spoiled, reputation is something that devotee is not after. So this is not the goal of devotee's life. That would be another anartha. Wanted to be, you know, recognized, famous, worshipped, and so on. But that doesn't mean that if some devotee is recognized in society or has some position, that he should reject it. Actually, it should be used in Krishna's service. If someone is very influential, then people will listen to that person. People will follow him. So then devotee can bring people to Krishna consciousness. So it is not wrong for devotees to be famous. They just have to use it for Krishna, in Krishna's service. and then they can introduce Krishna consciousness to people. And the same goes for the whole society for Krishna consciousness. We want good reputation. Not that we want to be, you know, glorified in the mundane society, but if people have good opinion about devotees and Krishna consciousness movement, you know, then they will be willing to accept what we have to say. They will be willing to accept our books, our teachings. They will be willing to come and visit our temples. And in that way, we will be more effective in spreading Krishna consciousness. So we have to take care of our personal reputation and also reputation of our movement for, you know, our own good and also for the good of others. That's why it's important how devotees act and how they present themselves in society. Here at the end of purport, it is mentioned how Lord Shiva is giving shelter to the lowest creatures. So those, Prabhupada is saying, who cannot even approach other demigods or Lord Vishnu, Shiva is giving shelter to them. So he is so merciful, giving shelter to the most fallen. Now in the age of Kali, it is quite obvious that this is very degraded age, and actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Patita Pavana, one who delivers the most fallen personalities. So practically, if someone is not fallen, then he is, you know, a rare exception. But majority of population falls into that fallen category. So Srila Prabhupada also gives shelter as being representative of Lord Chaitanya. He gives shelter to every living entity in this age, so that, you know, so that we stand a chance to be elevated and attain perfection of life. Yeah. And that quality is also seen in others. Just recently I was watching and listening to that series Following Srila Prabhupada, where disciples of Srila Prabhupada speak about, you know, there is a footage of Prabhupada visiting different places throughout time, from his coming to US and then practically it is till his last days. And then devotees who were present there speak about their experience at certain places. So there was one scene of hippies dancing in San Francisco, in a park, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, dancing, and you can see, you know, some are more conscious, some are less conscious. And there was a footage of Jayananda Prabhu dancing with some of them, and Shyamasundar Prabhu commented that Jayananda was always, you know, inclined to show favor to the most fallen people. And he said, you know, no one was too dirty or too fallen for him. You know, he would just grab their hands and dance with them and engage them in Krishna's service. So that is compassion of a devotee. He is willing to engage everyone in loving service of the Lord. And another example came to my mind, that is when Tamal Krishna Maharaj was speaking about one incident he had with Srila Prabhupada. He was about to undergo a surgery. So when he underwent surgery, he had some vision or some dream. And when he came out, he told Srila Prabhupada about the dream. And he said, Prabhupada, I saw you giving a report to the previous acharyas, you know, what is happening, how the movement is being spread and so on. And then he said, Prabhupada, you told them, you know, these people are completely hopeless. They have no good qualities, they are not clean, they are not, you know, well educated, nothing, nothing. But he concluded and he said, but they have one good quality, and that is they follow whatever I say. And when Tamal Krishna Maharaj expressed that to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, yes, that is true. So we can see this is how we can be saved. Regardless of, you know, our condition or where we come from, we just have to take the words of Krishna and his representatives, Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual masters, and stick to that, strictly follow that. Then we can be saved. Otherwise, you know, on our own or by any other means but strictly following the cyclic succession, we will not achieve success. So we should strictly follow what Srila Prabhupada has said so that we make our lives perfect, and then we can share this Krishna consciousness with others by giving them prasadam, inviting them to temple, giving them Srila Prabhupada's books, and all those things that have enriched our lives. If we share it with others, then there is a good chance that Krishna consciousness might enrich their lives also. So we should follow example of Lord Shiva, example of Srila Prabhupada, and then try to take full advantage of Krishna consciousness. And one last point. Here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains how certain words, Sanskrit words, can be taken even in the positive sense, although Shiva is Daksha is criticizing Shiva, but that could be also accepted as praise of Lord Shiva. So it is possible sometimes Sanskrit words can be interpreted in different ways or taken differently in different contexts, but regardless of the fact that this might be accepted also as praise, finally Daksha did lose his head. And his attitude was the attitude of envy. So, you know, even though words can be taken as positive, but still it didn't bring about good result because his attitude was wrong. And in the preface of Upadeshamita, Srila Prabhupada says that advancement in spiritual life depends on the attitude of a practitioner. So Daksha's attitude was not really topmost. Okay. Any comment or question? Yes, Krishna.
If the Lord is very powerful, why does he need doorkeepers?
why does he need doorkeepers if he is all powerful? Yes, good question. If Lord is all powerful, why does he need doorkeepers? Different living entities serve Krishna in different ways. So Krishna makes situations so that living entities can serve him, right? Although Krishna doesn't need our service. Like I may go and cook something for Krishna, right? And offer to Krishna. But is Krishna hungry? I mean, Srimati Radharani cooks for him. No, he doesn't need my cooking in one sense, right? But he is very pleased if I try to do something for him. So also, if some devotees want to protect Krishna, Krishna accepts that as their service. Although he himself doesn't need protection. Right? He can do, just by thinking, things happen. But he accepts service in that way. Because all of us want to serve Krishna in a certain way. How do you like to serve Krishna? What do you like to do for Krishna? You like to box for Krishna. So you also protect Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Good. But you also nicely play mridanga and sing for Krishna and dance for Krishna. You know, different things we can do for Krishna. Then he is satisfied with us. Yeah. And I will mention also one thing. After Harinam on Tuesday, we gathered and there was prasadam and there was also a cake because of Krishna's birthday. So at that time I asked him, I didn't know which of the children, whose birthday it was. So then I found out that it is his. And then he said, actually it's not today, it's in 2 days. So that is today. So, Hare Krishna, happy birthday. Anything else?
I have one more question.
You have one more question? Okay. And there is another bright young person with a question. Sorry, I didn't understand. Can you repeat, please?
Kumaras were big, but they wanted to be small.
Yes.
Why did they leave their bodies?
Why?
Why did they leave their body?
They leave their body. As far as I understand, they didn't leave the body, they just didn't want their body to grow up. Their body never grew up. They just wanted to stay. You know, like you grow till the age of 5, like this high, and then you remain from that time on small. They wanted to be like that. Why? Because when you are so small, then you are not that much interested in girls. Right? So they wanted to be able to focus on devotional service and spiritual knowledge. So they wanted to remain like small boys. Yeah. Krishna, one more.
This chapter is that Daksha curses Lord Shiva.
Mm-hmm.
What was that curse that Daksha gave to Lord Shiva?
Good question, which I cannot answer. I don't know the answer.
What's the question?
What was the curse of Daksha to Lord Shiva? Yeah. So you will have to come again and again to classes. Huh? Is that good? Yeah. There will be all kinds of curses. And followers of Lord Shiva will curse followers of Daksha, and Daksha will curse them, and it will be a whole mess. From one mistake in the beginning, then it just becomes worse and worse and worse. Yeah. So, yes.
What is the best thing that we should do to keep our minds clean?
To keep our mind clean. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Chetu Dharpana Marjana. That chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that cleanses the mirror of the heart. So, you know, being engaged in devotional service in general, but especially, you know, attentively chanting our rounds, that is very important. But accepting the whole process as Prabhupada has given, you know, not to leave out certain things or come up with our own idea, just accept the whole package and try to follow it to the best of our abilities. Then purification takes place. I mean, it's a general answer, but that's just the fact. You know, when you chant nicely your rounds, then you know, nothing else comes in. Even you stop chanting, mantra still goes on, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. It's so nice.
How to keep that it doesn't come naturally.
how to avoid anarthas. I mean, it is, yeah, it is hard how to avoid anarthas. You know, maybe even the word avoid is, you know, you might avoid some vehicle on the street or something like that, you know, something that is, but anarthas are in the heart, so I cannot go around, you know, they are here and I have to deal with them. They just pop up in. We have to learn in which situations some of them are coming to the surface or are more prominent, or by which circumstances some of them are being fed, they grow. And then we should try to avoid those situations and at the same time act in such a way that they are being cleansed. Another cleaning process is also mentioned in Bhagavatam. Nashta Prayeshva Badrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sivaya. By regularly attending classes on Bhagavatam or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and serving pure devotee, all these anarthas are being removed. In one sense, one should not panic too much. You know, if they are there, they are there. Just keep to the path that is gradually removing them and be patient. One of the necessary qualifications for attaining perfection or success in spiritual life is also being patient. Utsahan nischa daryat. It usually doesn't happen overnight. And it is taken into, I mean, that is just taken as given. Everyone who comes is practically conditioned soul. Conditioned soul means that there are impurities in the heart. But the process is designed in such a way that this will be removed and we can attain perfection in one lifetime. So that means that those things will be removed. But we have to stick to the cleansing process. Keep ourselves in an environment of devotional service and association of devotees. Then it will work. Yes.
In one sense, self-realization in the beginning stages means becoming aware of the faults. Mm-hmm. Which means also moving from a Kanishtha beginner to a Majjhima, more advanced, more realized, in that he recognizes I'm not the best devotee. I'm not the worst devotee, not the best devotee. So being aware of one's circumstance, one's situation, and then moving forward from that point. Helps us face the reality rather than thinking, I don't have the righteous. What do they keep on giving in my way? They just pop up, so therefore I should be able to avoid them. Right, so avoiding them is, it's not so much avoiding them, it's becoming aware of them. And then acknowledging the attachments and a lot of the mentality is seeing the material world as a place of enjoyment, whereas the path of the Vedas or the path of bhakti is to renounce, and that means renouncing the desire to enjoy everything for oneself. And instead of thinking that way, think this belongs to Krishna, how can I use it for Krishna? Then we start to act in the proper way without, you know, the anatta is wanting to enjoy it for ourselves. It may manifest in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. But the better off, you know, and this is why Krishna in the 15th chapter says you've got to look at the material world is an upside down reflection of the spiritual world, and then cut yourself off from it, because we look at it, the material world as a way of enjoying. There's the anatta. It's actually one, almost just one anatta, that is wanting to enjoy things for ourselves. So getting, you know, changing that around. And it will manifest in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
When we see a Mercedes Benz, or, you know, we see it attractive, whatever it is. Right? So then we've got to tip it on its head and see it from the perspective of trying to use it for Krishna. Yes, they'll keep you busy. Because it's so ingrained. So, as you say, it's not something to avoid, it's something that we have to learn to adjust all the time, pretty much. But that's what happened in Vritti's that stage of sadhana, following the sadhana process. And, you know, realizing that what ashram you're in, what occupation you should be doing, all those things, and then just gradually sticking to a very steady chanting, hearing, and all that. In that point of it, why does the Lord, the reason why Lord Vishnu has gatekeepers is because he doesn't want to be disturbed by idiots. He's the most powerful, and he demonstrates that by having somebody else look after the riffraff. Or he could do his own thing.
Come enjoy.
He wants to enjoy. But what is he doing in Vaikuntha? Here's a secret that's not revealed, even in the Shastra. What is he doing in Vaikuntha? That he doesn't want to be enjoyed. I'm sorry, disturbed. What's the answer to that question? Sleeping.
Sleeping. Oh, that's the question now here, right? Mm. There will be some
postal vote.
Yeah.
Yeah. Postal vote. And it's an example of how adjustments are being made based on social opinion, social values, as opposed to sticking to the tried and tested norms. There's a good example of how society is becoming so confused because of all these changes. And so people can't work out what's correct and what's not correct.
Yeah.
But if you're to present the Shastric version, you might become very unpopular.
Yes.
So one has to be careful about, you know, presenting things too strongly in a forum where you're going to have a lot of voices against you, even though they're incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just because they're the majority, this is the fault of democracy. Just because the majority vote in favour of something does not mean it's correct. That may mean they've just been influenced by people who have more money than you and were able to effectively propagandize and influence.
And on this topic, ISKCON here was questioned. What is the opinion on
Hare Krishnas?
Yeah.
What do we say?
Yeah, I mean, do reporters come and ask you for, you know, what is now going to be in this, when people will go and vote about this?
It's fairly simple. We say that marriage is meant to unite a male and female in wedlock,
mm-hmm.
which is ultimately for the purpose of bringing up, you know, producing and raising quality individuals, quality people, quality family, right? And ultimately, same-sex relationships is illicit sex. Because it's not for procreation of children. And so we're not going to be doing same-sex marriages. Because it doesn't make sense.
No yagyas for that.
No yagyas for that. Is me.
Yeah.
I know that when it's performed with religious principles.
Mm-hmm.
That puts us in a quandary or a conundrum because we acknowledge that there are same-sex attraction. There is same-sex attraction for some people. Right? But it can't be sanctified. So, you know, same-sex couples means the four regulating principles like everybody else. So that's a challenge.
But if you would present this point to the general public, they would object or they would...
No, I don't know if you put it nicely. Because the guidelines have already been given. And, you know, we're not against saints. We're not against anybody. Right? We're all entangled in the world. But we should be looking for the best way to get out of it, not further entangle ourselves, despite the difficulties or our meanings or our inclinations. Right?
Thank you. Comment on that?
The Shastras don't really discuss this topic at all, do they? They don't discuss this topic anywhere in the Shastra. This topic is outside the Shastra altogether.
Sorry?
The Manasamhita addressing.
I don't know. I believe in Bhagavatam there is something connected with Lord Brahma.
Oh, yes.
And there Prabhupada says that this is demoniac inclination.
Yeah. But, you know, tell that to the demons.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, discretion sometimes is a better part of that.
Yeah, yeah. You have to know what you can say, but at least, you know, that is the only example that comes to my mind. And probably there are some other statements by Srila Prabhupada. I never researched that.
Prabhupada also does not discuss it in detail.
Maybe not in detail, but I know he... One would have to go through all his works and see. I know one incident when one one lady came to Prabhupada. She was living in the ashram and she was telling him, you know, Prabhupada, I'm very disturbed by living here. You know, she tried to tell him, you know, that she is disturbed because she has this inclination towards ladies and she was living in the Brahmacharini ashram. And then Prabhupada just gave some general answers to her and then she left. And then another lady who was there, then she explained to Prabhupada. She said, you know, Prabhupada, you don't understand, you know, what she wanted to say, why she is disturbed. And then Prabhupada commented that he knew that there are men like that in India, you know, who are inclined to men. He said, I never knew that there are ladies also. So, you know, it is quite foreign to certain, I don't know, certain cultures or societies or, you know.
The general principle is not to encourage everybody in Krishna.
Yes, that's it, yes.
That's the
general
principle.
Yeah. Just the way Aniruddha Prabhu explained, yes.
Even regular attraction is you know, we're encouraged to follow the Nivritti Marg, not the Pravritti Marg.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore the Nivritti Marg is looking for the ultimate long term benefit for an individual, which means release from the bodily identification. And so even for heterosexuals, there are rules and regulations, which nobody likes anyway.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you do. If you're presenting the path of renunciation, as I mentioned before, it means looking for Krishna's enjoyment of things. Bhaktaram jagyatapasam. You know, Krishna's the enjoyer of what we do, not we the enjoyer. That's a very unpopular approach amongst those who want to enjoy the material world. We say don't enjoy the material world. And we say, and they're saying we want to enjoy the material world. So, you know, when the tide is out, it's foolish to stand onto it. Or try to, you know, that's why discretion is a very part of valor. We don't want to get into a fight. Because ultimately, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, don't disturb the mind of the ignorant, and encourage them in acts of devotion. So, you know, we're more inclined to want to encourage people to chant Hare Krishna and do the positive things of spiritual practice. And the details of the don'ts. We'll leave that till later on, once I've got a page out of the do's. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll just reject spiritual life out of hand if all we do is emphasize the negativity.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The Nivritti Marg. Which is our path, that is our path, ultimately, is a path of renunciation. But again, renunciation doesn't mean giving everything up. It means learning how to see it in the proper perspective and using it appropriately. So we can take heterosex because that gives us a result. There's sense gratification, but there's also, according to religious principles, a child, and that child can then be brought up to be spiritually focused, spiritually advanced. But same sex is just sense gratification, and that just reinforces the bodily concept of life. There's not purification from that.
Mm.
But it has to be a very broad-minded person to appreciate that. And if you just flog the negative, you'll be rejected by the Christians or the Muslims, or will be rejected for just being a one-eyed fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, that's what I recommend. Yeah, we do have a stance, but we want to be careful how we present it.
Thank you. Any other comment, question? Otherwise, we will stop here. Thank you very much. Grantal Chimad Bhagavatam ki jai Shiva Prabhupada ki jai Samaveda Bhaktavrinda ki jai.